Coming up on KUCB News, Alaskans voting by mail will not be required to have witnesses sign their ballots this year. And UnAlaska's cross-country team held its final meet on Saturday. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Maggie Nelson with some local news on Tuesday, October 13th, 2020. The Alaska Peninsula village of King Cove has confirmed that an individual tested positive for COVID-19 last week. This is the fourth confirmed case in the community of 900 people, after two Peter Pan Seafoods workers tested positive for the virus in June, and a King Cove resident tested positive and subsequently negative for the virus in late July. Upon receiving the positive test result, the unnamed individual was placed in isolation, according to Eastern Aleutian Tribes, the regional tribal healthcare provider. A statement from the healthcare provider said it's working with city and state officials to ensure precautions are taken to protect anyone who may have been exposed to the coronavirus. How the individual contracted the virus is under investigation. The individual is not a resident of Alaska and will therefore be listed separately from the state's total case count. And nearly 500 Alaskans tested positive for COVID-19 over the weekend, as a surge in cases that started about 2 weeks ago continues to climb. Both Saturday and Sunday set record single-day highs for new cases reported in one day. That rapid uptick has officials around the state warning that contact tracing and hospital capacity could soon become stressed if the trend continues. Anchorage's Office of Emergency Management said in an email alert that with those numbers, it won't be able to keep up with conducting timely contact tracing investigations. Most of the recent cases reported have been in Anchorage, which reported 143 new cases in one day on Sunday. But both Fairbanks and the Northwest Arctic have had higher case rates per capita. Hospital officials around the state are warning that Anchorage's ICU capacity could come under strain. That, in turn, could spell trouble for many rural areas of the state, which rely on Anchorage's bed space. So far, ICU capacity has been at levels that are considered normal for this time of year. But Jared Kosin, president of the state's Hospital and Nursing Home Association, says that could change soon.
Hospital capacity, the number of beds you have available, that is a lagging indicator. So if you're trying to use capacity as a measure for the pandemic, you're looking at the wrong indicator. You have to look at community spread, because ultimately it's the output of the community spread that produces hospitalizations and then consumes capacity.
Officials are urging Alaskans to wear masks when unable to social distance, to get tested for COVID-19, and to get a flu shot to help keep hospitalizations down and keep bed space open. To date, the city of UnAlaska reports that none of its reported cases of COVID-19 are attributed to community spread. As of yesterday, 104 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in UnAlaska, and there is currently one active case. Alaskans voting by mail will not be required to have witnesses sign their ballots this year, after the Alaska Supreme Court upheld a judge's ruling yesterday. State law requires that a witness sign absentee ballots. The Arctic Village Council and others sued to block the requirement this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Anchorage Superior Court Judge Danny Crosby ruled in favor of the plaintiffs, but the order was put on hold after the Division of Elections appealed it to the Supreme Court. Yesterday, the court affirmed Crosby's ruling after hearing oral arguments in the appeal. Natalie Landreth of the Native American Rights Fund is a lawyer for the plaintiffs. She argued that some voters are at higher risk from the effects of COVID-19, including those like Arctic Village residents who are far from a hospital. She says they shouldn't have to interact with a witness.
deciding whether or not to vote because you were afraid of getting sick is one aspect of the burden. Another is exposing yourself to disease. There are only two outcomes, both of which are heavy. Either you don't vote because you're afraid, or you vote at the risk of contracting it.
Division of Elections lawyer Laura Fox argued that the court should reject a judge's ruling that absentee voters wouldn't need a witness. She said the plaintiffs, which included Arctic Village Council, didn't prove the witness requirement is a severe burden. And she said contradicting the written instructions mailed with ballots to have a witness would confuse voters.
A court order changing the rules in the middle of the election will cause confusion and distrust at a point when we're already in this climate of unprecedented public skepticism about the election.
Justice Dario Borgesan questioned how the court should weigh voters' concerns. He noted that although some voters may feel that the witness signature prevents voter fraud, the state hadn't presented evidence that it does.
How can we essentially rely on public perception if it's not grounded in the facts that we have in front of us?
A full opinion will be issued later. Nearly 11,000 absentee votes have already been received by the state. More than 110,000 have been requested by voters. Meanwhile, Unalaska's cross-country team held its final meet on Saturday. Despite COVID-19 health regulations that stopped the team from traveling, Unalaska's school district still moved forward with the season, and students were able to compete with one another on the island, and even virtually against some teams throughout the state. And while Unalaska's cross-country runners were not able to compete with other teams in person, they still maintained positive attitudes and strong support for their fellow teammates. Like so many other events this fall, Unalaska's cross-country meets were drastically different from years past. But if you weren't attending in person and just listening to audio recordings from the events, you might not notice much of a difference. At their final meet on Saturday, Unalaska's cross-country team and their supporters cheered enthusiastically as their teammates, classmates, siblings, and friends rounded Kelty Field and crossed the finish line. It seemed very similar to most cross-country meets. Family, friends, school principals, and teachers lined up near the start and finish lines. But this year, attendees wore face masks, and there were no competing teams present. Head coach Lucy Ortiz says it was a strange season that came with many questions and surprises.
I mean, how do you get a group of high schoolers to agree to run in the rain and in the wind every single day for 2 months? And then not give them an opportunity to travel and expect them to stay in it. I think that was a challenge, but the kids really surprised me. They came ready to go.
Ortiz says the season was markedly unique, but the team was flexible, and she and fellow head coach Joni Scott came up with creative solutions, like socially distanced team dinners, to help the team feel connected. Ortiz says they also worked with some other cross-country teams out of Southeast Alaska to host virtual meets.
So I have some friend coaches down there, and so we all kind of started texting and was like, hey, you guys can't travel, we can't travel, let's compete. So we would run here, and all the other teams would run on their home courses, and then we would send all of our times together, and then we would just score out a meet. So it's not official, but it just gave the kids another way to compete and stay engaged.
And according to the team, the dinners and virtual competitions worked. Despite the added distance and masks, several team members say they felt closer to one another than in previous years.
We were more of a team this year, like, together. Like, we were all closer together with each other, and, like, all of us were friends.
Yeah, no drama, nothing.
We were just, like, a crew, like, that just stick together.
Like, family.
Just, like, you try to make the best memories you can before high school ends.
Most of the teenagers on the team say that staying motivated and pushing themselves without the added pressure of any in-person competitions with other schools wasn't an issue. For Herwin Riadil, a junior at Unalaska High School, staying motivated was a group effort, and winning meant doing so together as a team.
My parents were a big part, coaches, and my team, because they motivated me to work harder in practice and just keep going, because if I quit, I know I'm going to regret it in the future, so I got to make the best of it.
Ortiz says the team ran somewhere around 5 official races. She says she's proud of the community for showing up and showing support during these strange times, and especially proud of the team for pushing themselves and finishing out the season.
The thing that motivated me was the whole team and the coaches. They're a big part of that.
I wanted to quit, but my dad told me I'm not a quitter.
And I think the coaches were a big part in motivating me because they were like always there for us.
Oh yeah, music helped me. Like, it's not just a one person thing, it's the whole team. That's why I stayed. For today, the thing that motivated me to run was I had to get a haircut today.
The Unalaska City Council meets tonight via Zoom. A limited number of community members will be allowed to attend in person. At their regular session, councilors are expected to certify municipal election results and discuss continuing measures to protect public health during the COVID-19 pandemic. They will also be discussing whether or not to support the Unalaska Native Fishermen's Association's request to the North Pacific Fishery Management Council for a community cod allocation. The City Council will meet tonight at 6 o'clock. The community is encouraged to participate in the meeting. People can join Zoom online or telephone in at one of the toll-free numbers provided on our community calendar at kucb.org. Comments and questions can also be emailed in advance to City Clerk Margie Veter no later than 5 p.m. today to be read into the record at the meeting. Or you can also listen live here on 89.7 FM or Channel 8 TV. And this week, in recognition of Indigenous Peoples Day, we will play a 4-part documentary called Definition of Resilience, a series highlighting the dynamic stories of Native American hip-hop and its contribution to modern music. Each episode follows 2 artists who share their story and Indigenous history. Yesterday, we played part 1, and today, we are airing part 2 of the series. That's up next. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Maggie Nelson, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. And please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.